Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
With Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Absolutely shocking. Another Saturday morning. I am here. Ken Laird is not. Andy Hart in for Ken Laird. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. Is Ken alive?
He is. It's interesting to me. Is this mic sound funny? Right?
Nope.
I don't know. Anyway.
You sound fine.
Okay, good.
Well, I mean, you sound normal.
Right, right.
I probably shouldn't say fine.
Fine has left the building a while ago. Every day I see Ken post from a vacation, and you know how there's these YouTubes for everything, but like if you're going, you know, when I went to Nashville a couple years ago, never been to Nashville before. So I did a quick, you know, what's going on? Obviously we all know that there's like, you know, Broadway and there's, yep. But what do? Get 5 minutes and then, you know, at least you arrive with a false sense of security of understanding where you are and where you want to go. Ken's videos from his trips are like the tutorial of how not to have fun. It is everything I would never do, he does. And his videos, so he talks about social media, you know, in his new big BM role here. And his social media is abhorrent. It's awful.
Wow.
He posted last night in Palm Desert. His post, his story was, it's hot. And he showed a water mist coming from a restaurant. At that point, I would just delete the account. Like, oh, no S. It's July in a desert, and it's hot out. Also, no disrespect to Ken, who's a big Greta guy. You know, like not exactly good for the environment to try and force an oasis out of man-made water into thin air here. So, nonetheless, wow. Andy Hart is here.
I'm here. Ken, I'm not bitching either.
Ken will be back. Yeah. One question. I just need this answered. I've asked it in passing in the morning. But I need someone to explain to me between now and noon. Why rideshare vehicles occupy the fast lane at the speed limit? I don't get it. What's the benefit? Qui bono? Who gets anything out of it? I don't understand it. There has never been a time where more cars are going the same speed in different lanes, which causes traffic, and it makes no... Is it just that people don't recognize? Like, they don't know that the left lane is for passing, the other... You know what I'm saying? Like, that there isn't some... order and the way in which highways were designed. But when I go from Southie to here, I get it. Andy, your commute is about 10 times as long, and you never bitch. But when I'm on the Pike, it's about a five-mile road from the State Police Barracks to Alston Brighton. Without a doubt, unfailingly, there are people just parked at 55 in the fast lane going under the Prue, going by Fenway.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it. I understand that there's construction and they're building this footbridge that they're going to create. You know, John Henry's going to get his traffic and own half another whole parcel of the city of Boston. But on Saturday morning, I don't for the life of me understand why that is the case.
It's definitely an issue I deal with even further down in highways further from Boston. And I've always assumed what the deal is the Uber or Lyft driver wants to impart the idea that we're getting you where you want to be as fast as you can. But I don't think anybody wants to be in an Uber where the guy's actually doing 80. You feel like, well, I'm probably going a little too fast, even though we all drive that speed.
Right.
With somebody else driving that speed, I feel like you're like, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this speed. So it's that idea that I'm in the left lane, so I'm getting you where you want to go as fast as possible. But the guy is being sort of customer service aware to not actually hit 78 miles an hour, 80, 85, whatever the passing speed is at that time. That's always been it happens all the time. Because you can tell. You see them because you see like the one head in the front and then two heads in the back. And you're like, oh, that's an Uber.
And you can sort of see it's either a Lyft or an Uber sign in the back right.
And you're like, yeah, they're taking somebody somewhere and yet they're driving like a jackal. And I also think maybe it's disconcerting, too, if they stayed at the speed, and then they're doing a lot of the passing back and forth. Does maybe that bother somebody sitting in the back seat? Like, what are you kind of jerking me around back here? I don't know. But you're right. It happens all the time, and it's a pain in the ass.
Right.
There's no middle ground. They either go incredibly slow, as you're describing, or they blitz. Like, if they're solo, they just weave in and out of traffic.
We're all trying to get somewhere fast.
Amen. And it used to be like when I was in college and there was no Uber, I'm that old, and you would get a cab around BC, and sometimes when, shocker, I was drunk, I would be taken for a ride, literally, they'd go an extra 10 minutes out of the way, and you'd get there, and I would get it because they get more money the longer the trip. With an Uber, it's preset. So there's nothing they stand to gain from being slow, and you'd think they want to get as many trips in as possible. So the quicker they deliver the customer to their location, the quicker they get another ride to a different location.
But you get rated, right? So they want to make sure they get the good rating, the good whatever that's stars or...
I guess. Anyway, well, as I always would like to do, I'd like to get progress. So if you have an answer to that, 617-779-7937. I'll tell you one thing.
Are they also monitored?
I am sure.
I bet you their app is speed monitored. And if they... Because, you know, like all your GPSs or whatever do a little flashing red when you go past the speed limit wherever you are, let you know. But I bet you they're being monitored. Does that hurt their rating? Do they get warned? I wonder if it's some
of
that.
But they don't have to be in the fast lane.
No, but then the customer is like, why are we in the freaking slow lane?
I feel like the customer knows you're going 55 if you're in the fast lane or the slow lane.
Probably. Depends what maybe they trick them with, you know, certain music or odors.
Right.
Or, you know, how like casinos.
Do you do a conversation preference?
With the, no, none. I'm going to be looking at my phone.
Right.
So that's hard upon you. Don't talk to me.
Yeah. I very rarely take them anymore, but when I do, I do select that. But I want to go back to the great segue we had. Speaking of not having answers, the Yankees have no answers for your Boston Red Sox. The Yankees are melting down. It has been great. Two things. One, that Judge home run was, I guarantee you, further than whatever the Ted Williams seat signifies. There's no way anybody's ever hit a ball further at Fenway Park.
It's going faster than those Uber drivers on the Mass Pike.
Amen. Joe, there we go. Maybe you should do open night tonight at Giggles.
Let me know. I would actually attend to see how that would go.
A braver man and a brave man on stage. The Aaron Judge home run was obscene. The Red Sox comeback, Zidan Rafaela, two-run bomb if you went to bed early. And then a huge two-run RBI in the eighth for Massat for the Red Sox. So as the Red Sox win 9-7, they are now 5-2 against the Yankees this season. They've won 2 of 3 since they lost they lost Monday. So they lost 4 straight to open after the break. Since then, they're 2-1 in their last 3 games. They are now 2 games out in the loss column behind the Yankees. The Yankees are 0-4 this year against the Mets, 2-5 against the Red Sox. That is 2-9 against their biggest rivals. And another night at Fenway Park where it looked alive. They bring in the big maple. Andy Hart, where are you today on the Boston Red Sox?
I think that was a sneaky big win because as much as everybody felt good about the Cora extension, and I'm sold. This is a baseball team I never thought I'd be talking about or caring about this time of year. Certainly after the trade deadline, I didn't have any real faith the way this season was playing out in my head and the plan and the bridge and whatever. And their play has kind of enticed me over the course of the last couple months. And I'm a big Cora guy. I love Alex Cora. I think maybe it's, you know, having to deal with Belichick for 20 years. He's like the anti-Belichick on so many levels as the way he deals with the media and the team, everything. So I think that was a great sign. But I laughed the other day when everybody's happy about a baseball team that's losing 20-7 and in the midst of a 1-5 coming out of the break to start a second half of the season where they have the toughest schedule. It's like, what are we happy about? Like, we're happy because we have a manager. It feels like loser nation kind of thing. But no, I think this win gives you a little jolt or whatever to like, okay, it wasn't just, I didn't just fall victim to a PR stunt. We signed the manager, everybody, you know, because they put on social media, I think it said like, our manager or something. Like,
yeah, that was exactly what it was.
No. This is a team that is still competing and can still compete against. I don't know what you think of the, are they a better team than the Red Sox? I mean, those standings would tell you they're a better team.
The Yankees are more talented than the Red Sox, but I don't think they're a better team.
I don't either. And they haven't been since they had a great start that they are now kind of still riding and reaping the benefits of. Without that great start, they're porked.
Their first 70 games were historically great. Their last, what was it be, like 40 games or 35 games have been awful.
What's their record since Cashman went on the road? Remember, it was like, Cashman's in town, and our record's 1-0 since he joined the trip.
Not good, but the Yankees and Mets have had an inverse to their seasons. The Yankees started out unbelievable. The Mets started out awful. The Mets have the best record in baseball since July. The Yankees have the second worst record in baseball in that span. And what is encouraging about the Red Sox is I look back to 2013, right? That's the best example of a team coming out of absolute nowhere following Chicken and Beer, Bobby V, you bring in John Farrell, and who the hell knows? They obviously rode a lot of the emotional wave following the marathon bombings and all of that, but that team felt like everybody overachieved. Like, we were all waiting for Koji or Napoli or Lackey or somebody to fall on their face because there was no way guys like Daniel Nava could keep getting big hits.
Yep.
They didn't. The team ended up winning the World Series, and one of the more shocking events, Shaughnessy's column yesterday picking up the pieces in Cooperstown. He spoke with Jim Leland, who was inducted or was a recent inductee into Cooperstown. And Leland still can't get over that 2013 ALCS where they're up one game to none. They're up four in the eighth inning of game two at Fenway Park. They have Scherzer and Verlander, and somehow they lose that series after the Ortiz Grand Slam. But this Red Sox team, it doesn't feel like people are overachieving. Tanner Houck has come back to earth slightly. Yeah. Kenley Jansen's been a revelation as a closer. Great again last night. Obviously, we talked about it on the Greg Hill Show. He was unavailable due to a heart condition in Coors Field due to the elevation. So he came back in game one against the Yankees, struck out Aaron Judge looking. Goodbye. Yankees lose last night. It feels repeatable. It feels like the team, thanks to Chaim Bloom and some patience, which we mocked at the time, finally has a farm system that is burgeoning with talent. And you got guys like Teal and Mayer on knocking at the door of Worcester. You have a team that's 8 games over .500 that has played very well against good competition. And if Casas comes back, as Breslow talked to us on Thursday, this team could legitimately be a wild card team that could make noise in the American League. I don't think it's a crazy thought today.
Oh, I don't think it's a crazy thought, but I also think you headed into the All-Star break in the playoffs, which gave people, you know, a little bit of boost. And then you exited the All-Star break out of the playoffs because you got swept by the Dodgers. You're 1-5. And I think there's still trepidation, like James Paxton is that's not the buy, right? That's not the move. There's going to be other moves. That's one of, even if it's quantity, I almost don't care at this point if you kind of go with a quantity approach to this. Like, we're going to bring in a mediocre bat, a mediocre starter, a mediocre bullpen arm. At least you're trying. At least you're going in that direction of buy. It may be at the dollar store or whatever. But I do think there was still trepidation and there's still uncertainty. And your guy, Sam Kennedy, is part of it, I think, because everybody gets excited. It's like Cora's talking, and now Breslow has joined the narrative of we're going to buy and put the damn blinker on, put the stupid analogies away. And then everybody, you know, to steal the famous talk radio you know, see, it feels like Sam Kennedy always pumps the brakes. He's like the fun police, like, except when he isn't. Well, except when he wasn't the fun police, and maybe he got burned, and now he's going to be the fun police to rein in expectations all the time.
A couple years ago, he made a joke about the Yankees and how they can't beat the Red Sox, and then the Yankees beat the Red Sox like 10 straight games. And that, I think, has caused him to be Captain Negative. But either way, it's basically official now on the precipice of the trade deadline on Tuesday that we will have a baseball season through September.
Yeah.
And that is something when Giolito and Casas and all these guys went down, Trevor Story, that you thought was almost an impossibility. The over-under, I think, was 75, 76 wins for the team. I mean, they're on pace to be, you know, 15 games over 500, something in that ballpark. And I'm just curious about Red Sox fans at 617-779-7937. Where are you on this team? Are you in? Is this something that you think the team is overachieving? What do you want to see done between now and Tuesday? We'll take your calls on that. I have some sound of a very perturbed Mike Francesa, which always makes me feel better, so we'll get to that next. But right now, here's Joe Braverman with What's Trending.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The pitch, swinging a ground ball to short, down to an A. Raffaello, he flips to Hamilton for the out that ends the ball game. The Red Sox win a wild one in game one of this three-game series with the Yankees. And Kenley Jansen now tied for fourth all-time with 440 career saves.
Those were the dulcet tones of the great Sean McDonough as the Red Sox take game one of the series. Three games set, game two tonight, 7:15, perfect weather in Boston. Ah, what a I had a nice old man walk last night, and it was just gorgeous. It was so perfect. Hardly a breeze walking around Castle Island. The ocean was still. Got home, popped on Sox Yankees, enjoyed it. The little guy is now actually like watching it. I don't know what he knows or realizes, probably more than I do.
How old is he?
He's just turned two. And as yours is approaching his senior,
yeah,
on two ends of the spectrum, but hopefully your son, what's your son's, Jackson. Jackson Hart, big year at QB. Hopefully BC's watching, Bill O'Brien. Let's get into the heights. But no, it was a perfect night. I tweeted it last night because it's just amazing how, Andy Hart in for Ken.
Hi.
How these local Red Sox or Yankees broadcasters always have to keep acting like this is the best rivalry of all time. And it has been. In the park, I wasn't there. It came through. Listen to Sean. I heard watching the game at home. Lou is so freaking good. He is so underrated. You cannot say enough good things. He was going on and on. Who was it second last night for the Sox? I don't want to get this wrong.
Jamie Westbrook.
And so he's talking about Westbrook. And who better than Lou Marlone, Utility Lou, who came up through, you know, the Lou Marlone Highway from 95 from Pawtucket to Boston, mm-hmm, coming in playing short third, and how he had hardly played any second in the minors, and all of a sudden he's playing every night second in the big leagues. He had a very good play early in the game and made it look routine. And just, anyway, Lou is awesome. He just brings an insight that you don't get. So many people have such a bad, they're just not concise. They take forever to get to where they want to go. And Lou is excellent extemporaneously talking about baseball. So lucky to have him. But watching that game, it was a great game. The park was alive. And Michael Kay's intro on the Yes Network said, the greatest rivalry of all time has never been bigger. Quote, or bigger than ever was the exact quote.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No.
Like back, Michael, you were here in 04. You know what you're, I mean, anyway, and you know what's actually interesting is watching the game, you see a lot of Yankee fans, as there are Red Sox fans at the stadium, and there aren't fights anymore. At least, I mean, I think we'd see them on social media. You see everything on social media now. There's sort of like this, like a detente between the two sides where you watch the game. I'm sure there's yelling and, you know, jokes and maybe some vulgarity, you know, whatever. But it used to be, remember you're at Fenway and everybody's standing up looking away from the park and it's just there's a fight up in the grandstands, right, and everybody's trying to get a good sight line on? There doesn't appear to be that anymore.
Well, I don't think the I think other things in this world incite violence and fights more than sports now.
Right.
I think sports have become such a true diversion from reality that we've realized, and you said it, the rivalries aren't what they once were. It's just a different sports landscape. I think
something like beyond belief.
I think a lot of the fans realized along the way, for better or worse, I don't know if it affects you, like the team, the players don't care as much as I do. Like,
right,
the players don't care as much anymore, so why should I care? Like, I still care about the outcome, but it's not worth throwing punches at the guy who has a Yankees logo on his chest.
Right. Anymore. I mean, there will always be added fuel for these games because it's, you're never going to have a empty stadium for Sox Yankees in New York or Boston,
especially if you sell the tickets for a buck.
Right. Actually, I looked online today, secondary market for Red Sox Yankees, the get-in price is over $120 right now.
Oh, I'm not surprised right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, that's good to see.
People care about this team. That is the biggest stunner of this season for me. The way it started, you mentioned it, the injuries. I go back all the way to February when Cora seemed disinterested. Like, he didn't want to be, that first time he spoke at spring training, he didn't want to be there. He was playing out the string here, and then we'll figure it out. I don't want to talk about it. Remember he was asked a question about, like, do you want to be here? And he wouldn't basically answer.
Cora wouldn't commit to wanting to be here other than saying his family loves where they live. And Craig Breslow wouldn't just say he's a great manager.
Right, and that was like a layer of disinterest.
That's about a month ago on Breslow's part.
Yes.
I was asking him, like, Craig, I don't understand. Like, he's the manager of the year right now in Major League Baseball, and he refused to answer it in any way, which now stands to reason that they were in the middle of a negotiation, likely, and trying to figure how to hash that out.
So can we go there for a minute? Like, why did this happen? What exactly was the impetus for a guy who told Jones, like, nope, we're not talking about my contract during the year. Like, his price, Jones tried to do the million-dollar man thing. Everybody's got a price. If they come to you with your price, he didn't want to talk about it. Nope, we're not doing that. From that to he signed, sealed, delivered, I'm here for 3 years, and everybody's happy. Like, how did that change?
So my best guess using what I like to do, which is cynically evaluating situations with the truth in mind.
Okay.
They realize that Alex Cora is a bulletproof vest in some capacity. That for the last 2 years, they were embarrassed in Springfield at their winter weekend. Mm-hmm. The only person who got a standing ovation or was in any way defended or applauded was Alex Cora. It is a small investment. Mike Lowell said this to Rob Bradford on his Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, that $7 million is an accounting error for this ownership group. And it's an investment into a guy that will sell your message to fans in a way that is trustworthy. He is a conduit to sell the whether it's Breslow, Kennedy, or Henry, whoever is operating it. Having Cora there to implement it gives it credibility.
Sure.
And so that's why they wanted to do it. Cora wanted to do it because living somewhere, I'm sure he traveled a lot. We can look at his baseball card. He was in several cities across the, you know, for 10 to 12 years in Major League Baseball. Did a year watching or covering at ESPN. Obviously was suspended a year. When it is right, there are few places better than this. And while I think he could have gotten a couple more million dollars at the conclusion of the season to go potentially elsewhere, I believe there is enough of a hangover that his agent or he or both were concerned about a bad end of the year, a third, fourth place finish again, and enough teams saying the residue of the cheating still exists. So there was this perfect concoction. The team wants to invest and wants to appear to be invested in the roster. This is an inexpensive way to do that for someone they know won't have a contract year. He's a manager. You know what you're getting in Alex Cora. And Alex Cora did it because he legitimately likes it here. His family likes it here. He lives in a great suburb. And the unknown was scary enough to accept $7 million over 3 years.
The team part, I totally get. I think Cora has been more valuable to this team than they could ever know. He's the spokesman. He's the face. He's the biggest star for the most part. Like, Devers, I mean, is this weird
Devers and Casas, you know, maybe Houck, but you're right. I think if you had to pick one person that would be the most recognizable walking around Boston would be Alex Cora.
Alex Cora. So yep. To me, there's value in that.
Yep.
And I agree with all of that description. It's the Cora part that I don't understand that it changed. Because, okay, we all speculated for a week there. It was like, oh, what if he goes to the Yankees? What if they can Boone and all of a sudden Cora's managing the Yankees next year?
I said that, and then Tomasi wrote a column about it.
And, you know, he's going to get 5 years and $50 million instead of, you know, whatever it was, 5 years and $40 million for council and that whole thing. So we've gone from that. And I do actually think he likes it here and could realize the grass isn't greener. There's maybe only a couple places that would even measure up to everything he wants, like roster. We're trying to win. Big market, electric ballpark, fan base invested, all of those things. But why now? Like, you couldn't get to the end of the year and play that out? You're still valuable to the Red Sox. Was there like a now or never? Because why can't you play it out? Because what if they button-hooked you? And what if they said, by the way, James Paxton, all you're getting. And I also forgot to tell you, we got a really good offer for Kenley Jansen, and we traded him.
Because
what do you do now?
Well, Alex Cora can be public in his dissent, and the team owes him $21 million.
Yeah, he can be pissy and unhappy. Like, you just basically said he stayed because he wants to be happy.
Right.
Family, atmosphere, everything. He could stay and be unhappy, because in recent years, they've gotten to this point more often than not, and then it went south. They didn't buy. He dealt with a clubhouse. Some people blame him, some don't, but a clubhouse that kind of fell apart. The wheels fell off. What if that happens again?
I believe
he's miserable.
But there's enough in the pipeline that will be here that is not going to be dealt, whether it's Mayer or Teal or these guys. You're looking at this was a bridge year all along.
Okay, so he's buying into that. That's a good answer.
Yeah, I think that even if they don't do anything, the team is talented enough, thanks in large part to Dombrowski and Heim, that they will be successful in the not-too-distant future. And
okay, that's a good answer.
Let's say this, though. Let's even stipulate this. Let's say the Red Sox and Cora spoke in the offseason, because of course they did. You're entering the walk year, no matter what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Breslow and Cora may not have had a good start. Who knows? Nonetheless, my guess would be the peak salary that the Red Sox offered this past offseason would have been about half per season what they ended up paying him. My guess is he's probably around $1 to $2 million right after the scandal. because the team, you know, viewed that they were giving him this opportunity. And my guess is they offered him about four, potentially, in a three-year deal following. So it would have been $12 to $15 million after this year. Then the season starts. The team's good again. The team's overachieving once again. And there is this drumbeat. The biggest question we gave to Sam or Craig every Thursday on the Front Office Report on the Greg Hill Show, 9 a.m., was Cora related.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's been solved. Cora got a big bump from what he was getting, and he believes that the organization's in the right direction. The biggest winner by far of the contract is Sam Kennedy and Breslow. However, the Red Sox front office
agreed
won the day in getting that, especially the timing of it, because it took some pressure off what they had to do with the deadline, whether they like to admit it or not. And I think they will misread the market if they think that fans are fine with Paxton and an extension for Cora. However, they won the biggest, and I think that this is the biggest. The biggest winner also is Aaron Boone, if we're being frank. But
and maybe Dave Roberts.
Exactly. I mean, any one of those guys. Dave Roberts, absolutely. So they each had leverage over the other in different ways, and they played on the fact that Cora was here as a player in 07, here as a manager in 18, knows how great it is to win here and how that's different than other places. Cora knows that he's respected here. The media, by and large, is fawning, and they should be. He's been great in his job. And you don't have to go into that new market, break through all the same questions about the cheating scandal. I mean, all that stuff comes back to light, especially if it's the Yankees or the Dodgers. Well,
yep.
The Dodgers, they don't care about scandals. They just cover them up, and everybody moves along. But either way, this week was great for the Red Sox front office, and I think it's great for the young guys and guys like Bayo and Casas and Devers and the bilingual component. You can't overstate and how important that is in today's baseball as well.
So my favorite part of your answer is the players that he bought into the young players, because my general just sort of assumption was he became comfortable with Breslow just as a guy. Like, I can trust him. I don't know if that means he's going to get me X, Y, and Z at this trade deadline, but in general, I can trust him. Like, we're on the same page. We're actually trying to win. We're actually trying to go in a certain direction was sort of my presumption and takeaway. But I like the idea that he may have sat down and said, wait a minute, Casas is coming back. Duran looks awesome. Rafaela looks pretty good. Like,
Connor Wong
is pretty good. And
Tanner
I worked
Houck,
with
Ryan Bayo.
Those guys. And then I worked with Teal and Mayer and right. Anthony and these guys, because the one part that I really liked that I thought got overlooked a little bit in all of this, in the Alex Speer comments to the Globe with all the quotes from Breslow on the night, I think it was the night that the Cora news broke.
Yeah, because it broke like mid-afternoon.
Was his quotes basically bragging about the system when he said something to the effect like, only eight guys can take the field every day for a baseball team, and I have to figure out of all these young players which ones are worthy of being kept. Like, he was almost saying, like, we have two for one at every position, and I just have to trade off the right one. Keep one, trade one. There was this swaggery, you know, because we get into these stupid rankings, which I think are so overrated. When I found out, like, media members play roles in these Baseball America rankings and stuff.
Oh, of course.
Oh, so stupid.
Oh, Keith Law, one of the most sensitive humans on
yes.
the planet. Holy cow.
But
I think he was the first prominent person to ever block me on Twitter.
But when you're...
And I don't think he's that prominent. Maybe I used the wrong word.
Baseball
prominent.
Czar is basically bragging in the Boston Globe about how many players... We have two.
Don't
have
say he's a border czar, because they'll say they never said it. Anyway, carry on.
It's not the morning show. Let's keep the politics out
sorry,
of this.
Sorry,
we're doing sports on the
Let's
weekend.
Do it. Talking ball.
He was almost bragging about the depth of the system, and you marry that up with your theory that I like, that Cora was just like, yeah, I wanted to buy, and I wanted veterans and acquisitions, but maybe just the grass is going to grow really green right here. I hadn't heard that take.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well,
he's just comfortable with the reaping the rewards of the misery from the last couple of years.
Right. He's gotten this team to 500 on far less talented rosters.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
And here's the other thing that we don't talk a lot about when it comes to general managers. Dave Dombrowski was great at spending John Henry's money, of course, and they don't win if he doesn't have that opportunity. But so much of being a great GM is not who you draft and develop. It's who you see isn't developing that you trade at their high point for people you know will contribute to your big
right.
league club.
Who you snooker.
And that's really Breslow's number one job. It's basically how John Henry made his money. Venture capitalists is shorting stocks.
Yep.
It's going against the conventional wisdom and betting against people that think that other people think are going to be these wild success stories. And it's predicting the internet bust before the internet bust. And what I think Breslow is going to have to do, either between now, specifically between now and Tuesday, but generally between now and the start of next season, is to go through the guys that are coming through the system using Keith Law's rankings. If he's got guys that are way ahead of where you prognostic, where your prognostications are, and that's what this organization has to do. Because you look at Michael Kopech, Yoan Moncada. I mean, all the guys that the Red Sox have traded for talented people, especially with Dave Dombrowski, the vast majority went on to be absolute duds. So I am hopeful about the future because Cora's here, and I don't believe the big deal was Big Maple coming back. I have to believe there's going to be more moves. I think they take the series now. I mean, I think they split the next two games. They take two out of three. You improved to 6-3 against the Yankees on the season. You've beaten good teams. There's very few question marks. So 617-779-7937. If you would like to join us on the Sox, I teased this. Let's pay it off quickly. So this was Mike Francesa. We talk a lot about John Henry, right? That I've been beating this drum for a while. He's got this broadened portfolio. He's not as invested in the Red Sox. Well, it was interesting to hear a guy that's been on the Yankees scene for, I think, since Mickey played, and Mike Francesa talking about his perception of the Yankee ownership group.
Because it starts at the top. They have accepted mediocrity, especially when they sell the building out and draw 40,000 fans day after day after day. They're winning where they think it's important to win, at the cash register. They don't care about anything else. They'll give you the platitudes. They'll give you the lip service that they do. But you know what? They're not going to do anything drastic until there's empty seats or the cash register isn't ringing. It's been ringing. The Yankees have put together something like 14 or 15 straight games at home of 40,000 fans or more. And in that time, they haven't won a series.
So two things. One, you know you're old when you use a cash register reference. and secondly, that is very similar to what we've been saying. The Steinbrenner son, I believe it is Hank Steinbrenner. I hope I'm right. It was Hank and Hal. I don't know which one. Maybe either one. The living Steinbrenner son is operating in a much more conservative way. They do spend more than the Red Sox, but there is, you heard it. I mean, Aaron Boone would have been fired years ago if Steinbrenner was still around. Cashman's there forever. I think it was just noteworthy to see that it's not just the Red Sox that are being perceived as a team whose owners have changed the way they operate.
Oh, no question. And I know Jones did this the other day. There was some study that came out that in terms of percentage of revenues returned to the payroll, the Red Sox and Yankees are very similar. They spend more money because they bring in a lot more money.
At the cash register.
Right. At the cash register.
You write a check at the cash register.
I love it. And it's also interesting. Francesa's New York accent grew much bigger after he stopped talking on the radio.
Yeah, he definitely sounds different.
Very different.
Definitely. Real quick, I didn't know this. We were talking about Keith Law, your buddy.
Yeah.
He did indeed move Marcelo Mayer to his number two overall prospect this week. I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
Jackson Holliday. And yeah. Then you have the best prospect in all of baseball, and that's your thing right there. Maybe Breslow looks at that and goes, have you been paying attention? He's really not as good as we thought he was,
right?
And if you can get that return on value, the second best prospect in all of baseball, you have to consider unloading him,
or you have to consider anything at this point if you're going to get in. By the way, Jackson Holliday, you know you're old when the son of a player that you followed is the number one prospect in baseball.
You know he has multiples. There's another one.
Matt Holliday, one of the worst base running decisions. Wasn't he on the Rockies in 07? Am I losing my mind?
Rockies and Cardinals.
Yeah, so I think he lost in two series to the Red Sox. But in 07, he got picked off first base by Papelbon in the ninth inning. I think it was game two of that World Series.
Who's laughing now? He's stud fees for him pumping out major leaguers.
And Papelbon's just basically reenacting Major League with his chickens in Mississippi right now. But he's a great analyst. And Andy Hart is in for Ken Laird. We see you on the phone line, 617-779-7937, starting with the Sox. Big win last night. They take game one of a three-game set at Fenway, 9-7, improved to 5-2 over the Yankees this season. Game two of the three-game set tonight at 7:15. Our coverage begins at 6:15 here on EEI.
In It is a beautiful summer Friday evening here in Boston. And the Yankees and the Red Sox always have a great rivalry. But now it means more than ever, as it is a hot and heavy American League East race, with the Red Sox breathing down the Yankees' necks.
Bigger than ever. Bigger than consecutive Game 7s, 03 and 04. Anyway, that's Michael Kay last night. The lone local TV broadcast. You can hear the local radio broadcast tonight and tomorrow night, only in Boston on WEEI with, I believe, Sean McDonough.
Will is back with Joe.
Will is back tonight. Okay. Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione, Hall of Fame Joe, on the call tonight, and I would assume tomorrow night on ESPN. And Andy Hart is in for Ken Laird. We were talking Red Sox win last night. They go to 9-7. They go to only two games out of the loss column behind the Yankees. They can go even winning the next two if we want to get greedy, as Alex Cora said.
Sweeping?
I don't know. I feel like last night you were dead on. That was a sneaky steal of a win.
Yeah. And especially the way the game played out. Like, there were many chances to win it. There were also many chances to lose it.
Right. And it felt like there was this new, prior to the break, the Sox were never out of a game. And then there were two games against the Dodgers. They had leads and they blew. They had a lead in the first game against the Rockies of that series. They lost that. And then last night they kept, 1-0, 3-1. They kept getting leads, and the Yankees kept chipping away.
Right.
Judge hits that shot. If there's ever been a 500-foot home run, that was a 500-foot home run. 470 feet.
And that's where computers ruin these things. Like, that should be a mythical home run.
Right.
But we have a number. Immediately you have a number that they give you that I don't know whether it's real or not. I'm sure it probably is, because technology is pretty good these days.
Like, right.
But wouldn't you rather just say, do you remember that Judge home run? It was 5-something. I don't know what it was. You know what I mean? But no, you have a number on it.
I have been to Fenway Park. I worked at Fenway. I went to Fenway maybe 1,000 times, probably over 1,000 times. I've been at Fenway Park for a game in my 40 years on this planet.
Brag.
I didn't pay for a single ticket.
You've never paid for a ticket to Fenway?
No, I have. Oh, okay. The vast majority, I mean, overwhelmingly majority, I would get from, my dad bought season tickets for like.
No, I know. But like, if you had made it through this whole portion of your life without ever buying a ticket, that would be crazy.
I think I bought a couple tickets in my day, but the seats were awesome. If you ever go into Fenway, Loge 149, row CC and DD, you're 3 to 4 rows. They were 2 and 2, so you could go with someone and two other people could use the tickets. You didn't have to know each other. And the view, the sight lines, it was always around where the opposing families would sit. So, like, in the Yankees series, it was always full of, like, if the Red Sox won, those types of things.
So, you talk crap?
No. Andy Pettit's brother is a doppelganger. They should be twins. It was the craziest thing in the world to see him. But I have never seen a ball hit where Aaron Judge put that ball last night. That is batting practice at any stage. There is no way there is ever. That guy, he is so good. To see a guy that built, that. To have that elite level of hand eye, and I mean, he is an athletic freak.
He does not get it. I think because of his size, it's a little like Gronk, because of his size and his power, raw power, size, raw power. I don't think he gets enough credit for the athlete that he is.
Oh,
the
totally.
Crazy athlete. You're talking about a guy that they put in center field at whatever the hell height he is, 6'6", 6'7". Right. He is one of the great athletes of this generation. I know that list came out recently, ESPN.
Yeah, we did it. The worst list ever built.
And everybody got debating, like, how do you, Brady and a swimmer, like,
right.
One has a defense, one doesn't.
Wiggy
the whole
thinks
thing.
Everything's not a sport except football.
Well, I'm probably closer to Wiggy's side than I should be in most arguments, and that's, I kind of agree with that. But I'm just saying, if you ranked just like playground picking athletes, Judge is pretty high on the list.
On Baseball Reference, Judge is listed 6'7", 282.
Yeah, 6'7", 282. You said eye-hand coordination, can play outfield and track down balls. Like, that's stupid.
He is unbelievable.
He's a defensive end.
He is, and it doesn't, I mean, who knows? Guys lose it, but he appears
He'd
to be.
He'd be the best player on the Patriots, and he doesn't play football.
That's true. All right, we'll take your thoughts on the Red Sox early on here this morning. Coming up around 10, we're going to get into a little bit of the Patriots. Andy Hart was there all week long.
Yeah.
But But let's go to, oh, Fall River, Willie. I'm going to be in Fall River on Friday at the Tipsy Seagull.
Oh, yeah.
For a Greg Hill Road show. So maybe I'll see you there, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, guys? You look at the Yankees. They don't have Mariano Rivera in the bullpen anymore. They have trouble with their bullpen. But there's no way you can trade Kenley Jansen, guys. I mean, these closers, they think they grow on trees. They don't. You got to have the mentality, the toughness. Look at Mariano, Eckersley, Papelbon. It's not easy to develop a, you know, first-rate closer.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say anybody is going to be the next Mariano at any point.
No, I would not say that.
And the Red Sox kind of had Mariano's number many years. I mean, that.
Yep.
But, yeah, there's.
No, if you're all in, you're not trading Kenley
Jansen.
He's not
getting traded.
I'm just saying it's a possibility. Like, you could be bamboozled if you're Cora. You sign a contract one day, and, like, 4 days later, they could get an offer they couldn't refuse. Now, I also threw out there, because Jeff Passan wrote late before the Cora news, maybe Tuesday, I forgot exactly, that he was hearing, like, they might middle it again, this trade deadline. They might. And Keith was arguing, like, that's negative. If they middle it, and I was like, well, you can middle it in a positive way. And my example was, somehow you trade Kenley Jansen and trade for Mason Miller and got a younger, more electric closer from the A's.
Yeah, but I'm with Keith on that. Like, if you're, you either do it or you don't. You don't half go for it. And
I agree.
And you don't, but saying you're going for it, I think you could, it might be just semantically playing here. Like, going for it for someone may be you trade Marcelo Mayer for whomever.
Right.
Or somebody else might say, no, I'm not touching a top 50 prospect. This team isn't that ready. Let's go, you know, here with a, you know, our 10th rated prospect or whatever.
I'm still adamant and committed to picking a lane.
Yeah. Well,
which is why I hated him talking. That was the one negative of this week for me. Why are you telling me, well, we got to stop talking about picking lanes and just put the blinker on? Like, I don't shut up. Do. You know, Yoda, do or do not. I don't really give a what you say in the media 4 days, 5 days before. I will know what you did come Tuesday, correct? We can all assess it. I won't have to ask the question, were you a buyer or a seller? It will be self-evident you either bought or you sold. So aren't you hurting your leverage?
No, because I don't think the leverage is going to be. I think what you're doing is you're making your job unnecessarily more difficult. And whatever they do, I mean, I thought, candidly, Breslow was really great on Thursday with us. I thought Sam Kennedy trying to clean up after the fact was the wrong decision. Like, I think he spoke with Chris Cotillo at Mass Live, and he said something to the effect of, you know, I shudder to make predictions because you require a partner in any of these deals.
Right.
So I get that. But for me, what the organization needs to do is to make it clear that they are invested in the short-term success of this team. The team is good enough to invest in, and that they will be better on Wednesday than they were on Tuesday. And I don't think that's a big ask. I really don't. And for the way in which they have built this thing over the last couple years, they have been all over the map. They've had two different baseball executives in charge of it. They've had full throttle, which turned into, you know, neutral. They've had any number of decisions where they could have expedited the rebuild a year or two ago by making more trades instead of middling it. And yet they find themselves here where they're a game out of the wild card. They've been good against their biggest competition, and they have an opportunity with a farm system that they have been patient with to have enough assets to try and get a couple players that can make them much better for the stretch run.
Yeah, I don't see the positive of it. First of all, you create even more expectation in your fan base if you're Breslow. I thought he added to the expectation, which fans already had, thanks to Cora, thanks to the success of the team. And it may be minor, but the way I look at it, like, say there it's late. Is it still, like, late afternoon, the trade deadline?
I think it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah. So let's just say
6
it's
6
like,
p.m. actually on ooh. Tuesday.
Okay, let's say it's 5:45, and you haven't really done anything yet.
That's going to be a late dinner for baseball fans.
These are our people.
Right.
Remember, we appreciate
them.
You baseball
I
fans.
I love baseball.
But if it's 5:45, you haven't really done anything, and you're in talks for Evaldi, let's say. Wouldn't, if you're trading Evaldi, you're like, they kind of need to do this. They created an expo. And maybe I come to from the Belichick world where I overthink everything.
You do. Because guess what, Andy? For my entire life before the last 3 years, every deadline the Red Sox had to make a trade.
Yeah, but
and everybody knew it.
This more than ever, right?
No. I think in 04 yes. They had to do so. Absolutely.
You signed Cora.
More pressure on Theo in 04 than Breslow now. Yes.
Oh, I don't think so.
What are you smoking?
I think they have created so much unnecessary expectation.
Can you get Michael Kay out of here? I need Andy Hart back.
I think that you will lose the fan base.
You will, Andy, you need
just
to go
like
back
you've
in
lost
time.
Them in recent years.
You need to go back in time and remember.
I do have CTE, my memory not great.
The pressure on the Red Sox. Tony Mazz coined the phrase very well, the Fortune 500s. They had been 500 since the after April. They had a great April in 04. May, June, July, they were mediocre. They were just about a 500 team. They needed to make a change, and there was an obscene amount of pressure for Theo Epstein and Larry Lucchino, whoever was in charge at the time, to change the culture and unlock the potential of that team. That's what he did. If he didn't do it, what Breslow's trying to do here is take an okay team and make them pretty good.
Oh, but I don't think it's about the team. I think it's window dressing. It's about the fan base wants blood. The fan base wants something. Like the masses are sitting at the table with knife and fork, pounding, waiting for something to be served up to them. They almost don't care whether it's spam or filet. They just want something slid in front of them. And I think you take a massive step backwards where now it's just resignation. This is all we are. This is because even now when Breslow is talking about it, even now when Cora resigns, you got this false expectation. We really are just a draft and develop, draft and develop.
That is true. Will the entire shine that the Red Sox gleaned following the Cora extension be extinguished should they do nothing between now and Tuesday? We'll get your thoughts on that at 617-779-7937. And also, one of us was at training camp all week. We'll get Andy Hart's thoughts on week one of the Gerard Mayo era in Foxborough.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is a beautiful summer Friday evening here in Boston, and the Yankees and the Red Sox always have a great rivalry, but now it means more than ever, as it is a hot and heavy American League East race, with the Red Sox breathing down the Yankees' necks.
Bigger than ever, bigger than consecutive game sevens. 03 and 04. Anyway, that's Michael Kay last night. The lone local TV broadcast. You can hear the local radio broadcast tonight and tomorrow night only in Boston on WEEI with, I believe, Sean McDonough.
Will is back with Joe.
Will is back tonight. Okay. Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione, Hall of Fame Joe, on the call tonight, and I would assume tomorrow night on ESPN. And Andy Hart is in for Ken Laird. We were talking Red Sox win last night. They go to win nine to seven. They go to only two games out of the loss column behind the Yankees. They can go even winning the next two if we want to get greedy, as Alex Cora said.
Sweeping?
I don't know. I feel like last night you were dead on. That was a sneaky steal of a win.
Yeah. And especially the way the game played out. Like, there were many chances to win it. There were also many chances to lose it.
Right. And it felt like there was this new, prior to the break, the Sox were never out of a game. And then there were two games against the Dodgers. They had leads and they blew. They had a lead in the first game against the Rockies of that series. They lost that. And then last night they kept, 1-0, 3-1. They kept getting leads and the Yankees kept chipping away.
Right.
Judge hits that shot. If there's ever been a 500-foot home run, that was a 500-foot home run. 470 feet.
And that's where computers ruin these things. Like, that should be a mythical home run.
Right.
But we have a number. Immediately you have a number that they give you that I don't know whether it's real or not. I'm sure it probably is because technology is pretty good these days.
Like, right.
But wouldn't you rather just say, do you remember that Judge home run? It was 5-something. I don't know what it was. You know what I mean? But no, you have a number on it.
I have been to Fenway Park. I worked at Fenway. I went to Fenway maybe 1,000 times, probably over 1,000 times. I've been at Fenway Park for a game in my 40 years on this planet.
Brag.
I didn't pay for a single ticket.
You've never paid for a ticket to Fenway?
No, I have. Oh, okay. Overwhelmingly majority, I would get from my dad bought season tickets for like.
No, I know. But like, if you had made it through this whole portion of your life without ever buying a ticket, that would be crazy.
I think I bought a couple tickets in my day, but the seats were awesome. If you ever go into Fenway, Loge 149, row CC and DD, you're 3 to 4 rows. They were 2 and 2, so you could go with someone and two other people could use the tickets. You didn't have to know each other. And the view, the sight lines, it was always around where the opposing families would sit. So, like, in the Yankee series, it was always full of, like, if the Red Sox won, those types of things.
So, you talk crap?
No, Andy Pettit's brother is a doppelganger. They should be twins. It was the craziest thing in the world to see him. But I have never seen a ball hit where Aaron Judge put that ball last night. That is batting practice at any stage. There is no way there is ever. That guy, he is so good. To see a guy that built, that. To have that elite level of hand eye, and he is an athletic freak.
He does not get it. I think because of his size, it's a little like Gronk, because of his size and his power, raw power, size, raw power. I don't think he gets enough credit for the athlete that he is.
Oh,
the
totally.
Crazy athlete. You're talking about a guy that they put in center field at whatever the hell height he is, 6'6", 6'7". He is one of the great athletes of this generation. I know that list came out recently, ESPN.
Yeah, we did it. The worst list ever built.
And everybody got debating, like, how do you, Brady and a swimmer, like, one has a defense, one doesn't.
Wiggy thinks everything's not a sport except football.
Well, I'm probably closer to Wiggy's side than I should be in most arguments, and that's, I kind of agree with that. But I'm just saying, if you ranked just like playground picking athletes, Judge is pretty high on the list.
On Baseball Reference, Judge is listed 6'7", 282.
Yeah, 6'7", 282. You said eye-hand coordination, can play outfield and track down balls. Like, that's stupid.
He is unbelievable.
He's a defensive end.
He is, and it doesn't, I mean, who knows? Guys lose it, but he appears
He'd
to be.
He'd be the best player on the Patriots, and he doesn't play football.
That's true. All right, we'll take your thoughts on the Red Sox early on here this morning. Coming up around 10, we're going to get into a little bit of the Patriots. Andy Hart was there all week long.
Yeah.
But let's go to, Fall River. Willie, I'm going to be in Fall River on Friday at the Tipsy Seagull.
Oh, yeah.
For a Greg Hill Road Show, so maybe I'll see you there, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, guys? You look at the Yankees. They don't have Mariano Rivera in the bullpen anymore. They have trouble with their bullpen. But there's no way you can trade Kenley Jansen, guys. I mean, these closers, they think they grow on trees. They don't. You got to have the mentality, the toughness. Look at Mariano, Eckersley, Papelbon. It's not easy to develop a, you know, a first-rate closer.
Yeah, I wouldn't say anybody is going to be the next Mariano at any point.
No, I would not say that.
And the Red Sox kind of had Mariano's number many years. I mean, that.
Yep.
But, yeah, there's...
No, if you're all in, you're not trading Kenley
Jansen.
He's not
getting traded.
I'm just saying it's a possibility. Like, you could be bamboozled if you're Cora. You sign a contract one day, and like 4 days later, they could get an offer they couldn't refuse. Now, I also threw out there, because Jeff Passan wrote late before the Cora news, maybe Tuesday, I forgot exactly, that he was hearing like they might middle it again, this trade deadline. They might. And Keefe was arguing like that's negative. If they middle it, and I was like, well, you can middle it in a positive way. And my example was somehow you trade Kenley Jansen and trade for Mason Miller and got a younger, more electric closer from the A's.
Yeah, but I'm with Keefe on that. Like, if you either do it or you don't. You don't half go for it.
And I agree.
And you don't, but saying you're going for it, I think you could, it might be just semantically playing here. Like, going for it for someone may be you trade Marcelo Mayer for whomever.
Right.
Or somebody else might say, no, I'm not touching a top 50 prospect. This team isn't that ready. Let's go, you know, here with a, you know, our 10th rated prospect or whatever.
I'm still adamant and committed to picking a lane.
Yeah. Well,
which is why I hated him talking. That was the one negative of this week for me. Why are you telling me, well, we got to stop talking about picking lanes and just put the blinker on? Like, I don't shut up. Do. You know, Yoda, do or do not. I don't really give a what you say in the media 4 days, 5 days before. I will know what you did come Tuesday, correct? We can all assess it. I won't have to ask the question, were you a buyer or a seller? It will be self-evident you either bought or you sold. So aren't you hurting your leverage?
No, because I don't think the leverage is going to be. I think what you're doing is you're making your job unnecessarily more difficult. And whatever they do, I mean, I thought, candidly, Breslow was really great on Thursday with us. I thought Sam Kennedy trying to clean up after the fact was the wrong decision. Like, I think he spoke with Chris Cotillo at Mass Live, and he said something to the effect of, you know, I shudder to make predictions because you require a partner in any of these deals.
Right.
So I get that. But for me, what the organization needs to do is to make it clear that they are invested in the short-term success of this team. The team is good enough to invest in, and that they will be better on Wednesday than they were on Tuesday. And I don't think that's a big ask. I really don't. And for the way in which they have built this thing over the last couple years, they have been all over the map. They've had two different baseball executives in charge of it. They've had full throttle, which turned into, you know, neutral. They've had any number of decisions where they could have expedited the rebuild a year or two ago by making more trades instead of middling it. And yet they find themselves here where they're a game out of the wild card. They've been good against their biggest competition, and they have an opportunity with a farm system that they have been patient with to have enough assets to try and get a couple players that can make them much better for the stretch run.
Yeah, I don't see the positive of it. First of all, you create even more expectation in your fan base if you're Breslow. I thought he added to the expectation, which fans already had, thanks to Cora, thanks to the success of the team. And it may be minor, but the way I look at it, like, say there it's late. Is it still, like, late afternoon, the trade deadline?
I was thinking, I think it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah. So let's just say
6
it's, like,
6 p.m. actually on Tuesday.
Okay, let's say it's 5:45, and you haven't really done anything yet.
That's going to be a late dinner for baseball fans.
These are our people.
Right.
Remember, we appreciate
them.
You baseball
I
fans.
I love baseball.
But if it's 5:45, you haven't really done anything, and you're in talks for Eovaldi, let's say. Wouldn't, if you're trading Eovaldi, you're like, they kind of need to do this. They created an expo. And maybe I come to from the Belichick world where I overthink everything.
You do. Because guess what, Andy? For my entire life before the last 3 years, every deadline the Red Sox had to make a trade.
Yeah, but
and everybody knew it.
This more than ever, right?
No. I think in 04 yes. They had to do so. Absolutely.
You signed Cora.
More pressure on Theo in 04 than Breslow now. Yes.
Oh, I don't think so.
What are you smoking?
I think they have created so much unnecessary expectation.
Can you get Michael Kay out of here? I need Andy Hart back.
I think that you will lose the fan base.
You will, Andy, you need
just
to go
like
back
you've
in
lost
time,
them in recent years.
You need to go back in time and remember.
I do have CTE, my memory not great.
The pressure on the Red Sox, Tony Maz coined the phrase very well, the Fortune 500s. They had been 500 since the after April. They had a great April in 04. May, June, July, they were mediocre. They were just about a 500 team. They needed to make a change. And there was an obscene amount of pressure for Theo Epstein and Larry Lucchino, whoever was in charge at the time, to change the culture and unlock the potential of that team. That's what he did. If he didn't do it, what Breslow's trying to do here is take an okay team and make them pretty good.
Oh, but I don't think it's about the team. I think it's window dressing. It's about the fan base wants blood. The fan base wants something. Like the masses are sitting at the table with knife and fork, pounding, waiting for something to be served up to them. They almost don't care whether it's spam or filet. They just want something slid in front of them. And I think you take a massive step backwards where now it's just resignation. This is all we are. This is because even now when Breslow's talking about it, even now when Cora resigns, you got this false expectation. We really are just a draft and develop, draft and develop.
That is true. Well, the entire shine that the Red Sox gleaned following the Cora extension be extinguished should they do nothing between now and Tuesday. We'll get your thoughts on that at 617-779-7937. And also, one of us was at training camp all week. We'll get Andy Hart's thoughts on week one of the Gerard Mayo era in Foxborough.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.